蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
在一个强调自给自足、自主自立的社会里，我们已经习惯了什么事情都靠自己解决，就算是自己做不到的，也会第一时间拿出手机上网来寻找答案，而不是向身边的人求助。你现在收听到的是良友电台的双语节目《蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today》，我是乐心，和我一起主持的是 Charles Morris。 平常出门如果迷路的话，你是会向陌生人求问呢，还是会埋头查地图，试着靠 GPS 定位找到方向呢？某种程度上，乐心我认为，越是不习惯开口求救的人，就越容易陷入孤独，而越是觉得孤独，就越不想寻求帮助。它是一种恶性循环，情况只会越来越糟。你的身边有这样的人吗？还是说你就是这样呢？今天我们进入全新的系列 One is the longest number， 一是最孤单的数字。也许你还记得阿桑的 Yes 当中有一句歌词是这样说到的：孤单是一个人的狂欢，狂欢是一群人的孤单。我一个人吃饭、旅行，到处走走停停，也一个人看书、写信，自己对话谈心。
孤单是一个人的狂欢，狂欢是一群人的孤单。爱情原来的开始是陪伴，但我也渐渐的遗忘，当时是怎样有人陪伴。我一个人吃饭、旅行，到处走走停停，也一个人看书、写信，自己对话谈心。只是心又飘到了哪里，就连自己看也看不清。我想我不仅仅是失去你。
在都市生活和打拼的人啊，很多时候都是这样的状态。我们远离了熟悉的家乡，为了实现梦想，在一座陌生的城市贡献着自己的青春。一个人工作，加班到了深夜，一个人吃饭，成为了便利店的常客，一个人旅行，用自拍杆完成了全程的记录。曾几何时，乐心我以为自己将来的生活就会是这样的。然而在遇见了主耶稣之后，我发现我可以是孤单的，却不孤独，我可以是寂静的，却不寂寞。今天邀请到的节目嘉宾呢，是 Charles 的朋友 Lydia Brownback。 他最近出了一本书，叫做 Finding God in My Loneliness， 在我的孤独中找到上帝。人都会有孤独感，对大多数人来说，这种的孤独感只是短暂的一个时间。可能在我们刚搬到一个新的地方的时候呢，当时还没能够适应新的环境，就会容易产生孤独感。好像乐心4年前搬到了南方的一座城市，最开始的那几个礼拜，我最怕的呀就是下班了之后不知道去哪儿，不知道干嘛。上班的时候还好，因为身边有同事有工作任务，自然呢就不会胡思乱想了。可是下了班大家都走了， 我的心里啊，就开始感到无名的慌乱，无名的孤独，不知道该去哪里，该做什么。还好，后来当乐心慢慢地适应了这边的生活之后呢，这种的孤独感也随之消失了。不过，我们不能否认的就是，对某些人来说呀，孤独不是暂时的感受，它就像影子一样的随时随地跟着人们。好像乐心的一个朋友说到的，我发现我所有写的剧本里面都有一个不变的主题，那就是孤独。现在就让我们把时间交给 Charles， 请他和嘉宾 Lydia 来与我们分享。
Lydia Brownback, my friend in Christ, welcome for the very first time to Haven today.
It's great to be here with you today, Charles.
And I wanted to have you on because I just got in the mail a book that you've written called Finding God in My Loneliness. And loneliness may not be something we think about. We've talked about depression many times on this program, but never really loneliness. Can you just tell us why in the world did you decide to ponder and then write a book on loneliness?
You know, it was a good friend, Nancy Guthrie, actually. She's a fellow author and speaker, and she suggested to me 5 years ago that I write a book on loneliness. And I think I was a little put off at the beginning, and I thought, why? Why would you ask me to write a book on loneliness? And I said, no. But as I thought about it over the next year, I realized that everybody is lonely. Whether they recognize that that's what they're dealing with, they are, to some degree, and for different reasons. And I thought about Nancy's request, and I decided to look into it. And as I began to write, it really clicked, and I started to see it everywhere. And that's when I discovered that at some level, everybody does wrestle with loneliness. They don't identify it as that. They don't always recognize that that's what's going on. But to some degree, everyone's lonely.
And we should define for anybody listening right now, because I know there are lonely people listening to us, there is a difference between loneliness and being alone. Can you define that for us?
Yeah. People can be in a crowded room surrounded by people and yet feel lonely. And others are isolated, living in a solitary situation, and yet they never feel lonely. Others feel both. They're alone and lonely. So sometimes they go together. Often they go together, but not necessarily.
And I mentioned this a moment ago. Being lonely also many times figures in with someone who is depressed. And we've had, someone you would have had when you went to seminary in Philadelphia, Ed Welch, Dr. Ed Welch. We've had him on the program talking about depression. Loneliness and depression can easily go together, can't they?
They can. And I think when people are depressed, they feel isolated. They feel cut off from companionship, from being understood in the feelings they're dealing with, and they can't even quite put words to sometimes, that no one else can quite relate to them. So there's an utter loneliness that goes with depression.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at it from a purely secular level, and we're going to certainly turn this to the gospel and how Jesus is our answer for loneliness, and I truly believe that to be the case. What are the causes of loneliness, do you think?
Yeah, I think they're different today from in the past, Charles. I think today, if you think about the fact that we as a society have options like never before. And because that's true, we don't tend to stay in one place. The very thing that's so great, having freedom, has actually enhanced our loneliness today. If we don't like something, we pick up and try something new. But unfortunately, the repercussions are people are leaving marriages for that reason. There's been a loss of commitment to a people, to a place, to a church, to a marriage, to a job. If you think back on previous generations, often people were born in one town, they grew up there, they married there, they raised their family there, and they died there. And today, that's rare. But if you look back on those generations, it seems that there was a lot less loneliness than there is today.
Mm. Lydia, let me just peel the layers back a little bit on this. You, too, have been lonely in your life, even though you didn't see yourself writing about loneliness. Do you mind just sharing with us a little bit about how the Lord has allowed you to go through loneliness in your life?
I think that when Nancy suggested I write this book, the reason my hackles went up was that I thought, well, there's an assumption that because I'm single, then I must be lonely. You think about the connection with family. You know, generations tend to live in compounds together. They have grandmothers helping with the child raising and generations working in businesses together. And today, if you're single, oftentimes you're not living in the home of your parents anymore. You're out there building a career. You live alone. I had a friend several years ago. She suggested that we buy a house together. And I said, no, we could never do that because of what it might look like in our society if two women were to go out and buy a house. So there's all kinds of implications today that have enhanced loneliness. So there is definitely a loneliness that comes from singleness just by virtue of spending a lot of time, a lot of solitary time. I think for me personally, the worst time of day is after work. I've spent years doing freelance, working at home and living alone, and I just can't do it. It backs up on me. I love coming into an office and having colleagues to be with all day, but evening hours, too much alone time, I don't think is healthy. Some is good, but too much can really provoke an intense loneliness. And there are so many in our culture today who are dealing with that. So there's been a loneliness that goes with my singleness, but at the same time, there have been great rewards that have come from that very thing. And as I point out in the book, the loneliest women I know aren't single women. They're women in a difficult marriage.
Yes. I don't think we really think about that at all. And you actually point out how not only women in marriages, but husbands in marriages can be very lonely as well. We're going to move on to a few other areas that you mentioned, such as the loneliness of grief, how we can replace God with idolatry in our lives that can actually create and lead to loneliness. Let me just tell our listeners, if you just joined us, you're listening to Haven Today, and I'm Charles Morris. Lydia Brownback has joined us from Wheaton, Illinois. And she actually works for Crossway Books, and I haven't seen Lydia in about 18 years. And we're talking about finding God in my loneliness. There are two friends I'm thinking about. You mention at least one of them in your new book, Finding God in My Loneliness. They lived, just almost over the fence from each other in a little market town, Olney, England. And I've been to the house of the one who was very depressed. I've been to the house of the one who seemed to never be depressed, and yet they were good friends. I'm talking about William Cowper, who wrote a lot of hymns and great poetry with his friend John Newton of Amazing Grace fame. Have you meditated? Have you thought a little bit about William Cowper, having been a lonely person yourself at points in your life? But there's somebody who really was lonely.
You know, his hymn, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, has always gripped me, Charles. And, you know, I wasn't sure of the origin of what sparked him to pen this hymn, but something deep had to do it. And it conveys all through that he doesn't understand the mysteries of what God is doing, but he trusts. And it's like he's rallying himself before the Lord to say, things may look a certain way, they may look dark, but they're not, because God is at work. He's working in a mysterious way. And I love how he ends his hymn when he says, blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter and he will make it plain. In depression or loneliness, it's a call to hope and it's a call to trust. And it's to say, even though we can't understand, when God's ways make no sense, he is still the place to go, the person in whom to trust. And that is our remedy. That's our remedy for loneliness and depression. It's our remedy for every broken place in our lives.
As far as we know from his life, and John Newton was always trying to lift the spirits of his friend, William Cowper. But he died never having been totally delivered. Let's talk about what is the answer for loneliness. What do I do as a Christian when I'm lonely? And of course, anybody listening who is lonely, they want you to give three simple cures, five simple steps. I can't in good conscience ask you to do that, but I will go ahead and ask you, how does somebody come out of their loneliness? How do they do that as a Christ follower?
It's interesting that you put it that way, Charles, because any criticism I've received for the book, it's been, well, there's not a lot of practical application. But but actually, Jesus is the practical application. And it's all through this book, because he is our remedy for loneliness. Our loneliness is an invitation from God to lean fully into Christ. When Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Leaning into him, the man of sorrows, the lonely, he was so lonely during his 33 years on earth. If you think about what he suffered, he's known and he experienced every kind of loneliness, the loneliness of rejection, the loneliness of loss, the loneliness of being misunderstood, the loneliness of offering love and having it not returned. He knows what every lonely person feels. And because of that, he is saying, come to me and be with me, share this with me. I understand you. I'm with you in this. We are never really alone when we're in Christ. And so practically speaking, we lean into him by faith. He is our companion every moment and the only one in this life who can really understand us at that deep level. So you mentioned before people going through depression, and part of what makes them feel so alone is that no one understands how they feel and they can't even articulate it. But Jesus already knows. It's often during our darkest times that we find him to be our closest companion, because it's then that when no one else understands us, we find that Jesus does. So he is our remedy. He is our answer for whatever we feel, whatever we go through. He has gone through it himself. He knows. So leaning into him is where we find fullness, that abundant life he talked about. It's not just for when we get to heaven. It's meant to start the minute we come to Christ. So that's our practical application right there.
You say something about how I want my loneliness redeemed. What does that mean? How is our loneliness redeemed?
God uses everything redemptively, and we miss redemption of our loneliness if we see it as something inherently bad. If we say, I'm alone and it's bad, and therefore probably God hasn't been good to me, what we're going to do is we're going to run out and try to grab the nearest solution or escape or quick fix we can find. But if we are willing instead to sit there with it and to take it to the Lord, then we find, we get out of ourselves, we look up and out, we get our eyes off looking in all the time. And then we realize, well, wait, there's a lot of people out there, perhaps even lonelier than I am. And so practically speaking, it's used redemptively when we say, I get what it's like. Let me go minister to someone else in the middle of their loneliness. Mm-hmm. Let me help somebody else lonelier than I am. And that's what, as we lean into Christ, that's what we do. It helps us. It gets our focus off ourselves. And we're only going to do that if we stop and just sit there in the middle of it and say, I don't have to fix this myself. I don't have to escape how this feels. Instead, turn to the Lord, lean into him, and use it. We can use our loneliness instead of just escape it. Mm. And one other thing along a practical line, Charles, I think, well, maybe you're going to get here, but I'll just preemptively go there. Sometimes our aloneness or our loneliness can be a tip-off of a need for a practical change in our life. And I'd say it's good and right to try to fix it if we are not in fellowship with other believers, if we are not in a church, if we are trying to do the go it alone thing, our walk with God, all just God and me. That's not what God intended. We are meant to be in the fellowship of other believers. So sometimes our loneliness and aloneness is the Holy Spirit prompting us to say, you know, you need to be in a church. You need to find other Christians with whom to live life. So isolationist Christianity, there's a loneliness that comes from that is God-given, that's meant to be changed.
Lydia Brownback, it's just been great having you on the program. Could I ask you if you would lead us in prayer right now? Maybe you could pray for lonely people listening right now.
I'd be glad to, Charles. Father, we thank you so much that you are our Heavenly Father, and that you sent your Son to redeem us from our brokenness, to meet us in our loneliness, to save us from all the sin that brings the pain of loneliness and all its outworkings into our lives. Lord, we pray for the lonely people who might be listening right now, whether they're married or single or young or old, and maybe others know they're lonely, maybe nobody knows, maybe they're all alone even in their aloneness. We ask that you would draw near to them, that you would speak into their hearts and give them peace, that you are with them, that you will never leave them nor forsake them. And Lord, lead them to a place where their loneliness or aloneness can be either remedied practically or used redemptively, that they will find joy even in the midst of it, and that they will find you to be all that you have promised to be, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lydia Brownback, my sister in Christ, thanks for joining us from outside Chicago on the program today.
It's been great to be back with you, Charles.
Morning by morning, I wake up to find the power and comfort of God's hand in mine. Season by season, I watch Him.
Amen. He has always been faithful. Or the title of the song, He's Always Been Faithful, sung for us by the talented Sarah Groves. This is Haven Today, and I'm Charles Morris. Have you ever felt like you're all alone? I have. Even those who have friends, family, or a spouse can feel lonely. Have you ever wondered why? We often try to avoid or numb the feeling, but what if our pangs of loneliness are meant to point us to something greater? Well, as we just heard over the last few minutes together, Lydia Brownback has a brand new book called Finding God in My Loneliness. And what she does is answer this question by showing that God wants to redeem your loneliness.
你相信吗? 任何一种情感都可以被神使用成为吸引我们来到他面前的动力。 就算是负面情绪也不例外。那星期的就在几天之前呢，家里发生了一些事情让我非常的不开心，可以说我的心情是烦躁极了。然后呀，我就一边坐在公交车里，一边忍不住开始抱怨起来了。我先是抱怨那个让我不开心的人，然后呢，就转而开始抱怨上帝。 抱怨他为什么一而再、再而三地允许这个人在我的生命里做着当时在我看来非常捣乱的事情。正当我抱怨的时候呢，突然我仿佛听见了圣灵的警告，好像是在说你要停止抱怨，不准再抱怨了。那个时候我才意识到，原来每次发生情况的时候，我的第一反应 又不是祷告，也不是等候，更加没有感恩。我总是出于血气的开始进行各种的论断和抱怨，幻想可能会发生的不同的情景，然后呢，就自我防卫似的猜测，如果对方怎么说、怎么行动，那么我就怎么回应、怎么样行动。其实整个过程当中，我充满了很多的负面情绪，也充满了很多对神的不信，还有 对神的指责。同样的，孤独是被人们标签为负面的情绪，是应该尽量避免的情绪。有的人陷入孤独感里，就好像整个心情浸泡在了盐水里面，怎么都出不来，进而呢就发展成为了更加严重的抑郁。也有的人陷入了短暂的孤独感，然后进行自我调节，甚至做到了超脱、超越环境的心境。就像是某个人曾经说过的那样，我允许自己悲伤，我允许自己孤独，但是我只给他们一小会儿的时间，我不允许他们掌控我，因为生命太宝贵了，还有那么多的事情没有经历过，我怎么能允许自己就陷在一个情绪当中一直不出来呢？有时候乐心我会相信，孤独的人活在自己的世界里面，活在以自我为中心的环境中，他埋着头只顾自己的感受，自然时间久了，孤独感只会越来越强。反而呢，如果这样的人能够抬起头看身边人的需要，把自己的生命投入进去，去满足别人的需求，去帮助别人，那么他的孤独感自然就会减弱很多。说到底，人是群居的生物，当我们帮助别人的时候，就会清楚地感到被人需要的重要性，自然而然就不会觉得那么的孤独，那么的无依无靠了。这就是第一集 Why is the longest number? 一是最孤独的数字。在下期的同一时间，我们会继续的来分享第二集还有第三集，希望到时候你也能够准时收听。愿神祝福你，下期时间我们不见不散，拜拜。